Hi, this is Phoebe Blamey, and welcome to the Happy Money Journey podcast for today. I'm really excited to have you here. I have spent most of my life working in financial services. I'm a qualified financial planner and I have my own mortgage broking business since 2006. I know that as a busy woman, it's really hard to get your life into some sort of shape. And so I'm here to help you on your own happy money journey. So here I am back with part two of the interview with Jules Brooke. I hope you've enjoyed the first part. Jules really made a difference to my life and the life of so many other female founders who are, I think as business women, we got very isolated during COVID because most women who run a business over 50 years old are running as a solo entrepreneur. We are by ourselves all the time. And having that inspiration and those other women around to lift me up was one of the greatest things I found came out of COVID for me. Jules, being the absolute PR guru, I met her through this. I think I mentioned that in the first video. I met her through the Handle Your Own PR course, which I did years ago. But PR guru and an absolute LinkedIn and Facebook influencer, Jules has also created a course called Women of Influence. And it's a deep dive into how you as a female founder become a woman of influence. I've seen some real success out of it. And in this part of the video or podcast, this is exactly what Jules is talking about. So enjoy the next part of this podcast. So I really met you on an interview in Ticker TV, and then I
That's where we met.
I feel like
I've known you forever.
I know. It's not that long. Through our friend Wendy, and also then did your Handle Your Own PR course.
You did, yes.
Which for my
You're one of my poster girls, I should say.
Be one of your poster girls. I seriously, launching my book and everything, I had double page spreads in the Herald Sun. I have a constant
Stream of articles in the Fin Review.
I had national coverage for my book and some of my opinions and stuff like that. But the centre spread in the Herald Sun was my absolute favourite.
Was that really? I would have thought the Fin Review would have been the Fin Review
I love, but the Fin Review, it's like when anything, like the first few Fin Reviews, I was wetting my pants. I was so excited. Now we're up to like 40 or 50 and I'm like, yeah, you know.
Did you hear that? 40 or 50 articles
So tell everybody,
what did the PR do for you in terms of sales and integrity?
It was absolutely.
Did you get a lot of inquiries? We got a lot of inquiries.
It brought a lot of people to us, but also it really boosted my book sales and it really boosted my online book sales because for books in particular, people don't respond to advertising.
Unless someone's recommended it to them.
They respond to recommendations. So. Yep. What the PR did for me was it positioned me as an expert.
Yep.
And because I was that expert, because I was that lot of woman of influence, I guess.
You are a woman of influence.
Then it really boosted my book sales. So we are still on Amazon within the top 20 to top 50 most of the time.
It's been like over a year.
We published in February 2020.
Stop it. Four years.
And we're somewhere between 20 and 50. Like, we're not number one.
I know, but it doesn't matter. But you haven't disappeared.
We have not disappeared off that top 100 bestseller list in four years.
That's amazing.
Personal finance, top 50 all the time.
And, of course, the other great thing that PR does is if ever we hear about someone who's great, we go and Google them. And what does PR do? But it just sits there underneath your LinkedIn profile that nearly always comes up top. And then your podcast, and then it starts going, oh, she's spoken at this and she's been featured in that and here's a mention in this, that and the other. Mm. And if you can own that Google page, which I always say is the main aim of it, so you probably need 15 to 20 articles published, then that's it. And they don't disappear. There's a big one on mine from the Sydney Morning Herald when I launched Handle Your Own PR, which was in 2009.
See that? That's still incredible, isn't it? And that's what people are going to for. Well, that's how a lot of people met you.
Yeah, yeah.
But that course was a life changer for me because the previous experience I'd had with PR was through when I was working and PR internally.
And getting agencies to do it
and all that sort of stuff. And the power of actually taking control of your own PR and knowing what you're doing and putting it out there yourself is so much better than using an agency. I'm not big enough to use an agency. An agency's not going to pay any.
Well, agencies,
to me.
I mean, as I always used to say, it's always been a hard slog to get the word out about handle your own PR. But if you're paying an agency anywhere between $4,000 and $6,000 a month for a few months, why wouldn't you do something where you learn how to do it yourself?
Yeah. And even
build those relationships directly with journalists.
Even using a PR agent since, which I've done.
Yeah.
The knowing how to do it myself is so empowering. The knowing what to say, how to pitch.
And when they say, I haven't got anything, or they say, I have got something, understanding how valuable it is.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I really love that course. I think it's phenomenal and you should be very proud of
yourself. Thank you. Well, now I have to say, having founded it and run it for 2009 to 2021, whatever how many years that is, I'm terrible at maths, as we know.
Yep.
but having done it for that long, I'm very pleased to say I now have a wonderful woman called Jasmine Batra who is taking over the running of it with another woman called Julia Hume, and they are going to kick it up to the next level, I think. So,
was that hard to let go for you?
You know what? It was so hard for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And certainly when I got to sort of 2016, 17, I couldn't imagine letting it go, but She's the Boss has just taken my heart and my head and my everything. And all I want to focus on now is working with women and connecting them and helping them be more influential. So obviously I'm doing PR as part of the Women of Influence, but I now see that there's a whole lot of things that you need to do in order to, you know, build that influence. And also, you know, I guess like anyone, if you've done the same job for like 12 years or something, you kind of go, you know what, I'm ready for a change.
Yeah. And it's that, I think that transition would be much harder if you hadn't had She's the Boss, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah.
If you were stopping
I don't think I would have stopped. Yeah. I would have kept going.
Yeah.
But it's now, I just think it's someone else's turn. Mm. And with She's the Boss, I can see so many things I can do.
Mm.
And now the Australian Women Speakers has popped up as well.
So excited about that.
Yeah.
So talk to me about She's the Boss and what you've got planned for the next
12 months?
12 months.
Okay, so with She's the Boss, I have just introduced membership levels. So I've never done that. So I went from doing lunches for free to charging $50 a month, and only I think I went from 200 people who'd been coming for free to 8 who signed up. And I just remember thinking, oh, my God. So it's taken me a long time to build it back up again. But my plans this year, I've got 3 membership levels. So I've got a basic level where people can do the online courses, the online networking events, and they get a discount when they come to the in-person events. I've got the next level up where I'm now doing business brainstorming. I'm doing member spotlights. So I'm going to do emails that go out about different members. I'm about to start, I was telling you earlier, I'm going to start doing LinkedIn lives because I just can't not interview women. I love doing it. And I was like, how can I do it? The camera that we had with the TV studio all got a bit outdated. We haven't got a new camera at the moment. And the podcast is just audio. And I thought, stuff it. So anyway, so I'm going to give that a go this year. I'm doing retreats. So I'm doing one in Bali for Women of Influence in June. And I'm going to do one in the Maldives at the end of the year. And I want to work more closely with women doing one-on-one coaching as well. So She's the Boss has lots of potential now. We've got ambassadors now in Queensland, Sydney, Adelaide, and then I'll do Melbourne. So that means there should be a greater frequency, which should bring people on board. And then I want to also try and attract, there's a lot of women that I know who are very senior. So they may be a CEO of a big company, they may be a multimillionaire. And one thing that I've discovered about those women is how isolated they feel. A lot of them don't have close friends because I guess for two reasons. One is they're incredibly busy and naturally they're going to be surrounded because most leadership teams have got a lot of men in them by a lot of blokes who don't understand the whole women thing. And the other thing I think is because you're working so hard and traveling a lot, you'd shed friends along the way. I mean, there's no sort of arguments that happen. You just become more and more isolated as you go.
It's interesting that you're saying that because I was reading something this morning around how during COVID we actually lost a lot of our relationships. We lost a lot of those peripheral relationships.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that She's the Boss really did for me in that time was it brought me closer to a whole lot of women rather than further away. Group. So I was reading that stat this morning and I thought, that's a funny little stat to be reading on the day but that you I'm can interviewing girls.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. And so I've created a top level where I'm going to start running intimate dinners where I'll introduce them to each other. I'll invite them on the retreats and I'm also going to run a conference this year.
Oh, how exciting.
In fact, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to run a conference, which I'm going to call She's the Business, and I'm going to run a series of events with the amazing Lisa Cox, who is a disability advocate and a friggin' amazing woman. And she and I are going to run a series of events in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane called Women Talking, Diversity and Not Lip Service, and actually see if we can move the dial to help these women.
Oh, that would be incredible. I was speaking to a friend of mine over the weekend and we were talking about that diversity piece and how difficult that diversity piece is because businesses don't change their culture to let people in.
No. And then the other thing is they let them in, but they don't let them go up. So I just had a great meeting in Canberra with a woman called Christina Ryan, who is the CEO and founder of the Disability Leadership Institute, because there's no leadership training.
Yeah.
For many people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And so we need to get them up onto boards. We need to get them into CEO roles and onto senior leadership teams. And that's not happening organically, or it hasn't traditionally. So her training is going to help. And us talking about things like this is also going to help.
Definitely going to help because we need more.
We just need.
One of the things that I do know is the more diverse the company's board, the actual better the company performs.
Yeah, more profit.
Particularly, like we're talking racial diversity, gender diversity, all of the, diversity.
And,
brings a new opinion in.
You know, 20% of the population identify as disabled.
That's a lot.
I think most people, including me, thought it was about 2%. So when you're talking about one in five people have got some kind of disability, why have we not got them on our boards? And the same thing, you know, I'm very passionate about having an equal number of men and women on a board because I would say in 99% of cases, their customers are 50% women and 50% men, if not more dominant in terms of the purchasing decisions for women. So well,
this is what we found in examining media and marketing is that most purchasing decisions are made by women. And
absolutely.
We saw it in the last federal election.
And the rising wave of women over 50 who are retiring with money is also another big group that people need to be tapping into.
And I know about that. I know all about that.
There's
some really interesting stats that have come out from McKinsey and Deloitte around how a third of the wealth in the world is going to be controlled by women over 50 in about 3 years.
It's our generation.
It's our generation.
And I'm 57, so, it's not long.
We're up there. We're controlling the wealth. We're controlling the opinions of our family.
Yep.
And we can see that in the results.
We make the supermarket decisions. We buy the gifts. We pretty much decide the holidays. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. So as we're advertised to as if we're frivolous, that we don't know what we're doing with our money. Decrepit. We can be...
Or married. And that's the other thing. I think that there are a hell of a lot of women, and I encourage you all to come to She's the Boss because I want to help all of you, but that there are a hell of a lot of women over 50 who've now divorced and are single, and they're sitting with money in their pocket. They're feeling isolated because, as we know, when relationships end, it can split your friends. So they're looking for that support network. And then there's a lot of women being made redundant as they get to their late 40s and early 50s and going, well, what are my chances of getting another job about that big? So why not start my own business?
Also, a lot of women, I think, get to that age and just leave corporate because they can't be fucked anymore.
Can't stand it any longer.
They just can't do it. They can't turn up for the bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
They start showing up for themselves. I don't know about you, but when I turned 50, I kind of lost my ability to bullshit.
That's right.
I think you also
want a purpose and look at your purpose. And you know, we're very aligned that way, but... turning up for work and making money so that you can put money into shareholders' pockets, I don't think really turns anyone on anymore.
I don't think it does either.
So not only the older women leaving, but I think we all know, that is it Gen X or Gen Z or who are the millennials?
Millennials.
Who just do not want to work if they're not doing something to give back or to improve the world.
Yeah.
I love because we've all brought them up that way. But watch out banks and people like that because where's the satisfaction in some of that stuff?
Exactly. And they're such creative humans to have around us as well. I love them. I get so much out of
The
team that works for me, and, you know, your son and all these amazing people that we're so lucky to have as part of our lives.
Absolutely.
So, Jules, what's the next thing you've got on offer for people? How do they get onto your Women of Influence? How do they get onto She's the Boss? How do they find you, and how do they get to...
Nice question.
extraordinary experience, which has changed my life, of working with you.
Oh, thank you. So you can join She's the Boss, shesthebossgroup.com. I am absolutely in love with LinkedIn, so you can always find me on LinkedIn, just Jules Brook. I'm probably the only one with pink hair, so that's how you can tell it's me. I also, the Women of Influence, I'm going to start another course in February. I'm just trying to get my ducks in a row because I'm trying to work out what's the best format for it, but I will be running another one of those in February. You can come on my retreat to Bali. I've got one spot left. You can come to the Maldives with me later this year. You can join handleyourownpr.com.au, which has all the PR tools and education, and I am doing some coaching for them as well. And I love hearing from people, and I adore meeting women.
You do. And I've certainly made such great friends through the She's the Boss Network, and it's been such an awesome experience to have you in my life as a friend, just the whole network, and particularly during COVID, I really felt like some of that saved my life. And it's formed some really close friendships for me, as well as...
We've all had that weird thing, haven't we, where we've had so many lunches with people on Zoom, and you meet them in real life and go... Oh my God, you're shorter than I thought you were, or wow, you're so tall, or
all those
I love
things.
All of that.
But one of the things that I've really got out of it as well is the business connections, is the ability to work with other women, to
collaborate,
to have that wonderful, the wonderful saying that you repeat over and over, which is be the person that mentions her name in a room.
Yes, be that woman that will mention another woman's name in a room full of opportunities. And then I saw one that someone posted it on Facebook this week that said, be that woman that will fight for another woman if she's not in the room. And she said, that's the opposite, but also gives me goosebumps.
That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that's about sticking up for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Jules, it has been amazing. You are amazing, incredible. Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure.
And thanks for taking the time out on your Sunday to hop over here and do this face to
face. My pleasure. My pleasure, especially as there's going to be a glass of bubbles afterwards.
There is now. All right, thanks a lot. Thank you again for listening. Have a great week, and absolutely don't forget to enjoy the journey. Disclaimer. Just a reminder that the advice that's contained in this podcast is general in nature. It doesn't take into account your individual needs and circumstances, and we recommend considering the appropriateness of any advice to your individual circumstances and needs. We always recommend seeking the advice of an expert before making any financial decisions.